We begin this service singing from Psalter number 114, versification of Psalm 42. We sing stanzas 1, 7, and 10. 1, 7, and 10, 114. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth forevermore. In John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We now sing Psalter number 32. From Psalm 17, and notice especially the fourth stanza. As we sing all four stanzas, number 32. Let's draw near to God in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, whose promises are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus, we gather this morning in thy presence, facing the stark reality of death. But we gather in the hope of the resurrection and in the consciousness that thou alone art God. And we praise thee for the marvelous things thou hast done in giving us the victory over death by Jesus Christ, in proclaiming to us that gospel, and so working in our hearts the repentance and faith by which we enjoy the riches of knowing thy fellowship with us and love for us. As the generations of thy people have praised thee, so we confess, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Though our flesh and hearts fail, thou art the strength of our heart and our portion forever. Thy way is perfect, even though we confess it is beyond our comprehension. We thank thee for Larry's deliverance. We rejoice for him in the victory that is his in Christ Jesus, the victory over sin and death. And Father, we thank thee for thy work of grace in him, for giving him to see so clearly the truth of thy word and the sovereignty of thy grace, the wonder of thy faithfulness to us in thine own dear Son. We thank thee for the support he was for Pam, for the relationship they can enjoy together. We thank thee, too, for the joy which marked Larry's life, for the reflection of the joy of the gospel that flooded his soul. We thank thee for his love for thee and for thy church and for the preaching of the gospel. Thou didst encourage us by his smile, by his joy, by his and Pam's marriage. We thank thee for answering our prayers and giving him and Pam everything necessary to bear the final trial of his faith so that they could shine forth as gold, magnifying the work of thy Spirit in their humble submission to thy perfect will. Now, Father, as Larry's death gives us reason to pause and face the reality of our own impending deaths, lead us to Jesus today, that we might know him who has paid the debt for our sins, himself having entered the grave to shatter that which otherwise would hold us in bondage. We pray for the grace that our sorrow may be contained by the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thou art he who has sent forth thy dear Son, thine only begotten, to conquer sin and death for all who believe, for those who stand in Christ by a true and living faith. Because thou alone art the Comforter by the Holy Spirit of Christ, we come to thee longing for thy word of comfort, knowing that thou dost give grace without measure to thy people who cast themselves upon thee. Apply thy word now to all who are gathered here, and especially to the family. Strengthen thy servant who proclaims thy word. Father, forgive our sins and keep us from sin. even as we worship thee. Give us grace, give us ears to hear thy word, hearts ready to take it to ourselves, spiritual eyes to see the wonders of thy grace, and so use this occasion to draw us unto thee. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Once again, we sing as the family love to sing. Psalter number 227. From Psalm 84, we sing the three stanzas, 227. Psalm 23, we consider together this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pam, Jack and Jennifer, Mark and Holly, Kelly and James, Paula and Chad, Lee and Laura, and Nicole and Kevin. All you grandchildren, Lucille, Mrs. Coying, Larry's mother, She's not here, but I understand she's watching live stream, so this message is for you. Brothers and wives, extended family, Ray, friends. It's been quite an ordeal to lead us here. A year ago, Larry was as strong as any man his age. But the Lord reminded us all how frail life is. When on old years he was diagnosed with the cancer that the Lord would use to take him to heaven. The past several months gave you opportunity and us as friends, as congregation, to spend time together, to grow spiritually together. Through this trial, God mercifully spared Larry suffering much pain, and God also prevented the brain tumors from affecting Larry's mental faculties so that we could all spend meaningful time in fellowship. And finally, in a way very fitting, right after the congregation began its worship service to receive that little taste of heaven, Larry received the realization. And in that, he was given to see how little we taste now. And how that which he had enjoyed immensely pales in comparison to the glories that are now his in the fellowship of our Redeemer. On the other hand, we are left to contemplate our own lives and our own earthly sojourn with all the daily uncertainties, all the trials, the sorrows, and the certain death that awaits us apart from the Lord's return. And to that end, we turn to God's word for instruction and for comfort. Several weeks ago, probably goes back to a few months already, I asked Larry if there was a passage he would have me expound at his funeral. He immediately answered Psalm 23. So I call your attention to that psalm on this occasion. Psalm I also called your attention to a year and a half ago with Gene's death, huh? Today, I'm going to focus merely by way of overview on the first two and the last verses, 1, 2, and 6. With Gene, I focused on verse 4, but I want to call our attention this morning to our eternal shepherd. What a blessing it is to know Jehovah as our shepherd. Larry knew him in that way. As indicated from the funeral program, the cover of that program, another text that Larry loved was Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Larry loved the mountains that are our privilege to view every day here. And he loved to get into those mountains, even into the backcountry, and never cease to stand in awe of the handiwork of our Creator and his Redeemer. But Larry knew that the confession of the psalmist, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, was an expression that drew the psalmist's eyes heavenward to him who would come for his salvation. And so we immediately read in that following verse in Psalm 121, my help cometh from the Lord, that is Jehovah, who made heaven and earth, the one who alone can save us is the one who made heaven and earth, who formed this creation to serve his purpose in the salvation of his church. And which creation, therefore, also provides a multitude of pictures and figures that reveal to us the glory of our Savior. Larry would select Psalm 23 as his funeral text is reflective of his own love for God's creation and particularly for our Creator Redeemer. Because David in this psalm expresses the same. You might remember that the shepherd theme is found frequently in the Bible. God reveals himself to us with that figure, that of a shepherd. That word shepherd comes from a Hebrew term which means literally to feed. So the emphasis of that concept of the shepherd is upon God feeding us, providing for us. The figure also calls attention, therefore, to our dependence upon him. And we are completely dependent upon him. Sheep can't survive on their own. It's impossible. There is an expression of personal assurance that David confesses in this psalm, which assurance is based upon the loving care and faithfulness provided by his shepherd. But the shepherd theme was especially meaningful to David because David, after all, spent his early years in the fields tending to the sheep. In fact, you children remember that when Samuel was directed by God to go anoint David king, he went to the household of Jesse. David wasn't there. He was out in the fields caring for the sheep. So he knew personally all that was involved in caring for sheep. He knew that when the Lord reveals himself as the shepherd of his sheepfold, that's not an empty figure. Everything in this psalm reflects upon the character and the faithfulness of Jehovah as our shepherd. But the psalm does so, notice, from the viewpoint of the sheep, of you and me who belong to that sheepfold. The sheep have found in their shepherd such a faithful provider that they lack nothing. When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is, I shall not lack anything necessary for me. Larry could look back over the last several months, knowing that even as his earthly sojourn was entering its end, he could testify of God's faithfulness. And he did. It wasn't that Larry's life had been easy. There had been many trials, even from childhood, huh? And trials that you went through together with him. Difficult. Trials that took our breath away, as in Dale's death. Trials that reminded us how helpless, how needy we are. Sheep can't survive on their own. It's impossible. Nor can you survive apart from this shepherd of whom David sings. There are two things that are brought out in verse 2 concerning the shepherd's care for us. He He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We have to be reminded of that today. The Lord alone is our provider, and provide he does. The Lord alone feeds us, cares for us, and leads us safely home. Do you believe that? What a picture is seen in that second verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Shepherds testify that one of the most difficult things in caring for sheep is to accomplish getting the sheep to lie down. Because there are several things that will keep sheep from lying down. They won't lie down if they're hungry. And here the shepherd has brought them to green pastures. And there he has seen that they have been fed, they have been nourished with that food necessary for them. What does that figure of the tender grass represent to us, boys and girls? You know, don't you? The Lord feeds us through his word. Doesn't he? By the preaching of the gospel, the means of grace. Larry knew that too. He lived in the joy of that gospel. He was a thankful Christian. His smile reflected that. What an example to us. One of the greatest trials for him in the last several weeks was his inability to gather in the sanctuary on the Lord's Day, to hear God's word and to worship God in the fellowship of the sheepfold. He loved that word. He delighted in God. Delighted to praise God because of it. Sheep don't experience the peacefulness of lying down without being fed, without eating of green pastures. That's why the word had to be brought to Larry in the past several weeks, in order that he might continue to enjoy that peace of soul. Sheep don't lie down either when they are troubled or afraid. The annoyance of insects will bring sheep right to their feet. The bullying of other sheep also causes unrest, and the fear or sense of danger will also keep a sheep from lying down. There are many things in life that trouble us, aren't there? Sometimes even little things trouble us. But when we stand before a separation brought by the death of a loved one and all the changes that that brings, the Lord knows we are like sheep. And he knows we can find it difficult to lie down and rest. Because of that, he would call us to this psalm and remind us of his care for us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He's the one who fully provides everything we need, who protects us, and continually manifests his love for us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Another indication of his careful provision for us. Sheep need water. Can't survive without water any more than you and I. But sheep need to be led to still waters. Shepherds have found that no matter how thirsty sheep are, they won't drink from a running stream or a river. The shepherd, however, leads his sheep to still waters where they can drink all that is necessary. And what we see here is important for us. The psalm points to a shepherd who cares for his sheep and who cannot neglect their needs. After all, as we learn in the New Testament, in John chapter 10, this shepherd is no hireling. These sheep are his own. He loves them. He purchased them. He leads them and cares for them for his name's sake. The shepherd of whom the psalmist sang, and the thoughts of whom filled David's heart with joy, is the eternal good shepherd. The eternal I Am is our shepherd. Yahweh, the I Am. We say Jehovah. He's the one who is eternal and who has established a covenant with his people to which he is faithful. That's an amazing thing, because that God who is our shepherd is one who lives an infinite life of blessed fellowship and love within himself, within his own triune being. And that fact makes this confession all the more amazing, because he had no need of us. He had no need of a sheepfold. Why would the Lord of glory become a shepherd? But he has. He has chosen that flock from eternity, looking upon her in his only begotten Son. But the sheep of that sheepfold were lost, every one of them. Their sins had carried them away. They were wandering around in a desert wasteland, in constant danger, hungry and thirsty, because they were in the possession of one who didn't care for them. A false shepherd, the devil. And those sheep, therefore, you and I, were surrounded by death and without hope. But the Lord, Jehovah, would save us, reconciling us unto himself to carry us in his own bosom. And that brings us to the heart of our comfort today, Pam, family, and friends. Psalm 23 points us to Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, who came to save his people from their sins. Psalm 23 points us to John 10 in the New Testament, where we, those lost sheep, surrounded by death, lift up our eyes unto the hills. And there we see him who said to us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A little later in that same chapter, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ came, the great shepherd of his sheep, to fulfill what David saw prophetically in Psalm 23. He purchased us as his own sheepfold. Yes, that purchase was costly. He laid down his life for us. But in doing so, he conquered death. As the fruit of his faithfulness and obedience to the Father, in our place, he arose again from the dead. We stand before death today in the consciousness that Jesus Christ has conquered death for us and all who believe. For all, therefore, who come to him in repentance and who follow him. In the safety of our good shepherd, we confess, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. David's reference to the Lord's house was not simply the tabernacle on Mount Moriah. David recognized that temporary structure as a symbol of the glorious truth that God has fellowship with his own people in the Messiah. God has fellowship with his people, sending his shepherd to speak to them, to care for them, to lead them, even through the valley of the shadow of death, into the fellowship of his own covenant life, the fulfillment of which is heaven. We've had opportunity, Pam, to talk about heaven in the last few weeks, haven't we? And we've seen heaven is so far beyond our earthly comprehension, there's little we can say to describe it. The Bible uses figures to express the beauty, the glory, but they're earthly figures. They can't even begin to describe what Larry now enjoys with the saints who've gone before. But the essence of heaven is found in the fact that it is our dwelling place with Jehovah, our covenant God, in the fellowship of his purchased possession, the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 7, verse 17, speaks of it this way. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. The Lamb of God is our shepherd. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's the fulfillment of Psalm 23, isn't it? And that's the joy that Larry now experiences perfectly. The joy for which we also long who confess, the Lord is my shepherd. But that leaves us with one more matter to consider briefly. There's something critically important that we must take from this text today, and which Larry himself would also have wanted for all his loved ones and any who attended his funeral. This confession, the Lord is my shepherd, is a personal confession. And that's a matter of emphasis throughout the entire psalm. You and I also walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We do so as sheep. And quite frankly, that's our entire earthly life. A sojourn through the valley of the shadow of death. Everywhere we turn, we are reminded how fragile this life is. And when we come to a funeral, we are reminded of the inescapable reality that people will soon gather for our own funerals. Death is the wages of sin. The Bible tells us that, and we know it in our own conscience. That's why it's so critically important that we see in Jesus Christ our own good shepherd, eternal good shepherd. He alone is the one who by his death and resurrection has conquered death for all his own, those who hear his voice and follow him in repentance and faith. Do you follow him? He alone is the one who gives forgiveness and joy and peace with God. He alone is the one, because he is the one of whom we say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May that be your confession. Today and always, as it was Larry's. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, which is a healing balm of Gilead for thy people, the source of comfort in our journey through the valley of the shadow of death. Write that word upon our hearts. Work powerfully in the hearts and lives of those here, according to thy will, that together we may give testimony to the wonder of thy grace in our own lives, and to our only comfort in life and death. Heavenly Father, as we now leave the sanctuary and proceed downstairs to join the family in a time of lunch and fellowship, we also pray for thy blessing upon us as we partake of the meal provided and as we enjoy each other's fellowship in this setting. And Father, sanctify us even as we partake of thy gifts of food and drink, that we may receive them as good gifts from thee, our faithful shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. We're going to close this service by singing Psalter number 55. And you are all welcome to join the family in that time of lunch and fellowship immediately after we depart the sanctuary. I ask you to please rise now as we sing the three stanzas of number 55 and remain standing as the family exits the sanctuary at the conclusion of this service.